إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا، فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة آل عمران بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال عز وجل في نفس السورة: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. صدق الله العظيم، ومن أصدق من الله قيلا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in an age called the age of secularism. And we have to understand what Islam is and what secularism is. Secularism is the deen of the present age. Can there be any room for secularism in Islam? Or can Islam live under the banner of secularism? In order to do justice to any subject, it is important to go back to the very definition of whatever subject you are researching. And I have researched what secularism is. And in my khutbah today, I would like to shed some light as to what secularism is and what Islam is, and whether Islam and secularism is compatible or not. In the famous or infamous Wikipedia on the internet, similar to an encyclopedia, you find secularism defined as: secularism is generally the assertion that certain practices or institutions should exist separately from religion or religious belief. Alternatively, it is a principle of promoting secular ideas or values in either public or private settings. In the extreme, it is an ideology that holds that religion has no place in public life. Let me repeat that last statement. In the extreme, it is an ideology. Secularism is an ideology that holds that religion has no place in public life. In one sense, secularism may assert the freedom of religion. In another sense, it refers to a belief that human activities and decisions, especially political ones, should be based on evidence and fact rather than religious influence. The term secularism was first used by the British writer George Holyoake in 1846. Although the term was new, the general notions of free thought on which it was based has existed throughout history. In particular, early secular ideas involving the separation of philosophy and religion can be traced back to, believe it or not, Ibn Rushd or Averroes, and the Averrozian school of philosophy. Holyoke invented the term secularism to describe his views of promoting a social order separate from religion, without actively dismissing or criticizing religious belief. State secularism. In political terms, secularism is a movement towards the separation of religion and government, often termed as the separation of church and state. This can refer to reducing ties between a government and a state religion, replacing laws based on scripture, such as the Ten Commandments and Sharia law, with civil laws, and eliminating discrimination on the basis of religion. Now let's go to Webster's dictionary and find out how they define secular. And I have the 1956 edition of Webster's dictionary. Secular means worldly, pertaining to this present world or to things not spiritual or sacred, relating to or connected with the objects of this life solely, disassociated from religious teachings or principles, temporal, whereas secularism is defined as supreme or exclusive attention to the affairs of this life, worldliness. And to secularize is to make worldly or unspiritual. In the 1960 edition of the Oxford Dictionary, secular meant the same, worldly, not religious, or spiritual. Secularism was defined then as the view that influence of the religious organization should be reduced as much as possible, and the morality and education should be separated from religion. In the 1995 edition of the Oxford Dictionary, secular means not connected with spiritual or religious affairs. We're just seeing a change over a period of time. This term secular or secularism is further separating the individuals, even from his private religious beliefs, through the influence of the secular Western thought. Secularism, this definition from the recent 1995 Oxford Dictionary, the belief that laws and education should be based on facts and science rather than religion. How does science define fact? Anything which can be verified by the five senses directly or indirectly is real, and one which cannot be verified through the five senses directly or not directly is not a fact. So any news that comes to you from the unseen in which it cannot be verified through the five senses directly or indirectly, it should be rejected and it should not be practiced and it should not be part of the society. So the basis of secularism is facts, scientific facts. In the school system, only those that are based on science and facts will be taught. For example, although we all know, and this theory of evolution by Darwin had been refuted by non-religious or scientific scholars, yet it is being promoted in our schools, and our own children had been taught this concept of evolution that was presented by Darwin, which has no basis, it's wrong, and it is not the basic understanding of us Muslims on the basis of the Quran and the Sunnah, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because he presented certain facts and scientific facts and evidences, this secular society had adopted it as means to promote those ideas that we human beings were evolved from the apes. Secularism and Islam are diametrically opposite to each other, because Islam is purely based on the knowledge of the unseen, Iman bil Ghaib. In essence, secularism is anti-Islam. Now, there are two types of secularists: those who are religious and those who are not, the mulhideen, those who don't believe in God. For example, the communists. They don't believe in God, yet the affairs of the public sphere are in the hands of the few, the elite. On the other hand, you find secularists who are very religious and very devout to their faith, be them Christians, Jews, and sadly to say today, even Muslims. They have narrowed the religion to only a mere dogma, believing in a deity, believing in a creator. They have reduced it to a set of rituals. You pray five times a day, or you go to the synagogue on Saturday, or you go to the church on Sunday, and maybe you fast, whether 30 days in Ramadan for the Muslims, or 3 days or 40 days for the Christians. It doesn't matter. They have reduced the religion to only a set of rituals. Moreover, they have reduced the religion to only social customs. So perhaps how to celebrate the nikah. Okay, your religion will tell you how to celebrate the nikah. How to celebrate the birth of a newborn child. Your religion will tell you. All these affairs are related to the individual only. And they have reduced the religion to only dogma, rituals, and social customs. So the way of life or deen of the present age is secularism, the separation of church and state. The government has the sole authority to regulate and govern the lives of the people without the interference of any religion. They, so to say, control the public sphere, the political, social, or socio-economic order. Laws are framed outside the religion. Reference cannot be the Bible or any other scriptural book. Individuals may worship whomever they please in their private lives without the interference with the policies that are being legislated by the government. Now let us understand religion and what the word religion meant, what it meant before, and what it means today. In the Oxford Dictionary, the 1960 edition, religion was defined as follows: belief in the existence of a supernatural ruling power, the creator and controller of the universe, who has given man a spiritual nature which continues to exist after death of the body, a course of action or a practice regarded as the ruling passion of one's life. Now, here the word religion, within the context of that definition, the word religion in English is almost similar to the term we have in Islam called deen. Now, let's see the recent definition of religion in the Oxford Dictionary, the 1995 edition. A particular system of faith, a particular system of faith worship based on religious belief, controlling influence of one's life. So now, watch what happened. The wording's ruling passion has been now replaced by controlling influence of one's life. What does that mean? Controlling comes from outside, whereas passion is from within. Now you see how slowly and gradually they changed the actual concept of religion. At one time, religion did mean the control of both the private and the public affairs of the people, such as in the Christian times when you have the Pope, and with the Muslims when we had the Khalifa. Those who talk of the worldly benefits of Islam are greatly appreciated. Nowadays, you witness and you see, whenever you bring the worldly aspects of Islam into the picture, presenting, based again on facts and science, what can be beneficial to the society, they will commend you, they will applaud you, and they will respect you. But whenever a scholar, or a sheikh, or an imam, or whomever, introduces Islam from the aspect of the world of the hereafter, then you are condemned backward, and you are not going with the flow of the society in the present age. This is secularism. We have become secularized, actually, Muslims included. Our focus has become the life of this world and not the akhirah, as it should be, where the focus of Islam is. Islam always focused on the akhirah. So basically, what secularism accomplished was the following: the replacement of the life of the hereafter by the life of this present world. The replacement of the soul and the ruh with the body, and the replacement of spirituality with materialism. Our basic belief, Islam. What is Islam? Islam is the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is one who submits his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a mu'min, a believer, is one who believes in what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought from the ghaib. If we don't believe in the unseen, if we don't believe in what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us in terms of wahi, then we are not Muslims. Because iman in itself, linguistically, it means to confirm. Huwa at-tasdiq, to confirm on the basis of no evidence and no facts. And this is precisely what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us. Wahi from the ghaib, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which there can be no proof to any of the ideas and concepts that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought from the world of the unseen. And the greatest of the examples, and this is something that science is battling with today, and they will continue to battle with until doomsday, and they will never be able, on the basis of facts and science, determine what the nature of the ruh or the soul is. And the Prophet was challenged, and the Muslims will continue to be challenged. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنُ الرُّوحِ, they will ask you concerning the spirit, the ruh. قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Tell them, this ruh is by the command of my Lord. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And you have been communicated but little knowledge. This is all we know about the ruh. And we as Muslims believe it came by the command of our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many other concepts that can only be conveyed to us through wahi, through the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our basic belief, Islam, is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam introduces Allah as the Lord, the Rabb, not only the Ilah or the Creator, which is what secularism would like to introduce to you, that He is only a creator, or only a god. This concept of secularism actually is not a new concept. It was present at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quraysh at that time was in total control of their society. Economically, Quraysh strived on providing water to the pilgrims who would come from Yemen and from Syria, and through the worship of their idols that were in the Kaaba, 360 idols. Those travelers will install their idols, and on the way, on their trade, they will stop, worship their idol. The Quraysh will fetch them water, thus getting all of their revenue. And they prospered economically. They were very prosperous society. But what happened? When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the scene, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as the messenger, they were not ready to accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not ready to submit to that political, socio-economic order of Islam. They had no problem with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a credible person, but they had a problem with him as a messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Actually, the Quraysh had basically three issues with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, they wanted to believe in Allah as the Ilah and Creator only, but not as their Rabb, the one, the Master, the one who controls everything. They wanted to remain in control of their affairs. That's why oftentimes you find in the Quran, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. Whenever you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They will say Allah created the heavens and the earth. So they have no problem accepting the concept of God as a creator, as God, as one God of many gods. But they had problem with accepting Allah Almighty as the Lord, the Master. This is why you find in Surah Al-Ra'd, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ. Now tell them and ask them, who is the Rabb, the Master of the heavens and the earth, the one who controls you in this life on earth? Now they could not answer that. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, قُلِ اللَّهِ. Tell them, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were not ready to accept Allah as being the Master. Number two, they were ready to accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an honest and credible man, but not as a messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know, during the time of signing the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the emissary that came, that represented Quraysh while drafting the actual agreement, it started with, this is from Muhammad Rasulullah. This is from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. They said, no, we don't recognize you as the Messenger of Allah. You should remove this. And that created a big problem. Ali refused flatly to take it off, because Ali bin Abi Talib was writing the agreement on the dictation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Muhammad himself removed it and said, put Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They were not ready to accept Muhammad as the Messenger of Allah. Thirdly, they could not accept the concept of resurrection. Again, look how engrossed they were in this material world. That's why I'm saying this present materialism is nothing new. It had existed over the ages, and it was there with Quraysh. And that was one of the issues that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had problems with Quraysh. They could not accept that, oh, we will die after we become dust. We will be resurrected again. This is not acceptable. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that. أَيَعِدُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِتْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَنَّكُمْ مُخْرَجُونَ. What's this foolish thing? The Prophet, or rather Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, promises you that when you die and you became dust and bones, that you will be resurrected and that you will be reproduced again from the earth. Hayhata hayhata lima tu'adun. What are you talking about? This is nonsense. This is foolishness. In hiya illa hayatuna ad-dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin. This is the only life, the life of this world. We're not going to be resurrected. That was the belief they had at that time. And believe me, even today, my dear brothers and sisters, we have Muslims amongst us who doubt the very concept of resurrection. Who doubt the very concept of resurrection. Why is that? Because of those external influences of secularism, be it taught in the schools or elsewhere in the universities or whatever. In the first 3 years of prophethood, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked the Muslims to conceal their Islam, it is only after the public announcement of La ilaha illallah, Quraysh became hostile to Islam and Muslims. And the root cause of conflict between Quraysh and Islam was that Islam demands the assertion of Tawheed, not only in private affairs, but in public affairs as well. Islam sought to dominate the political, social, and economic affairs of the land, and the Quraysh were not ready to tolerate this. Today, the hostility of modern secular West toward Islam does not lie in the private religious affairs or teachings of Islam. Please understand that point. They have no problem with you practicing Islam at the individual level, in your own private lives. You want to pray 5 times a day? Pray 50. You want to fast 30 days in Ramadan? Fast every month. You want to build mosques? Don't build one. Build one on every corner of every street. Just don't interfere in the public realm or public sphere. The Muslims in the West enjoy full freedom to practice the private religious dimension of Islam. It is the public realm which the West does not tolerate. Just don't go on and preach Islam as an ideology. Don't preach as Islam a way of life that they have problem with. As a matter of fact, this concept of secularism goes even further back to the days of Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is nothing new. It's just a name we give it today, secularism. But that was present at the time of even Shu'aib. And Shu'aib, you know, he came after Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. Or in the chain of the messengers that came after Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبَةً. And to Madian we sent their brother, Shu'aib. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. He said, O my people, اُعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. You see, we have been created to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What sense does it make if we only worship Him partially? It doesn't make any sense. We have to submit, and we have to submit totally. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Enter Islam in totality. If it is at the political level, you have to obey Allah. If Allah said, I am the ruler, I am the sovereign, He is the sovereign. We are only vicegerent to Him. So He said, my people, worship and obey Allah. You have no other gods besides Him. وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. And don't reduce the weight that you give the people and cheat. My dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you, this whole thing is based on economic prosper of the few, the elite only. And it was present at the time of Shu'aib back then. They were cheating the people. And just look at recently what happened in the past couple of years. The Enron thing, the WorldCom, on the very same grounds and bases. They can. So they cheated the people. And here Shu'aib is telling them, don't cheat the people. وَيَا قَوْمِ أَوْفُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Go ahead, give their due measure with justice. Do justice with them. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْثُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ etc. قَالُوا. What was their reply? قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. Oh, Shu'aib, is it that your religion asks you that we should abandon the worship of what our forefathers worshipped and that we should not do whatever we wish with our property? So you see, they said, oh Shu'aib, does your religion command you that we leave off the worship which our fathers practiced, or that we leave off doing what we like with our property? If you ask us to worship Allah, maybe we'll accept that. But don't interfere in our economic affairs. My dear brothers and sisters, Islam is the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally. If we don't submit to Allah, if we choose between this and that, مُذَبْذَبِينَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاء وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاء, then we are branded amongst the hypocrites. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Islam is a deen. Islam is a complete way of life. Islam is distinguished from other deens in that Islam is the deen of tawheed. Is the deen of tawheed. Tawheed may be defined as a system of thought and practice with a divine reference, with a divine frame of reference. According to this definition, tawheed must be asserted in all facets of one's life, private and public. To be satisfied with the private religious dimension of Islam is practically the same as compromising tawheed, which is the foundation of Islam. We cannot compromise. Logically speaking, if a Muslim believes Islam to be the most perfect, complete and true guidance for all humanity for all times, then Islam must provide humanity guidance in private, religious, as well as public, collective affairs. And the Quran attests to that. The Quran itself, this is the ayah I began with in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Surely the deen is Islam. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of Islam, He attaches the word deen in the Quran. Just pay attention to it. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The total way of life, the complete way of life is Islam. Is Islam. Islam is the last guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for the entire humanity to enjoy. And then you have in the other ayah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Indeed, this day I have perfected this deen for you, deen al-Islam, as a way of life. And I have completed my favor upon you. And I have chosen again, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ. O Muslims, O believers, I have been very much pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. If you accept that way of life, if you struggle and strive to re-establish that way of life, that will make you prosperous here in this life and in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who will help the deen. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha. وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, now here is the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, lest you are influenced by these systems and secularism in particular, and you may consider yourself to be a secularist, you may have to think twice. In Surah Ali Imran, listen to this warning from Allah. وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses. Now deen here, see, this is the problem. We have reduced the term deen into religion. We think of Islam as just rituals. I told you. We reduce it to dogma, rituals, and social customs. That's it. No, Islam is way beyond that. And here, within the context of the ayah, deen means a way of life. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Whoever chooses for himself or herself or for his or her family a way of life other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Allah will not accept it of him or her. And what will happen as a result on the Day of Judgment? وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He or she will be standing in the ranks of the losers. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. In conclusion, Islam is not a religion in the limited sense of the word, consisting of dogma and modes of worship only, and some rites and rituals and some social customs only. It is a deen. It is a complete way of life. And it needs and demands its establishment as a whole political, socio-economic system. Wallahu musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us fulfill our duties and obligations. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وأقم الصلاة. يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.